Chapter 12. Shit, I hissed, as I dove back into the staff room and let the door shut. It's a whole lot of black cars and vans, unmarked.
Shit,
Heiwan gasped.
Government?
They look like they could be. I'm not sure, I said. But whoever they are, my guess is they're here for Idhara. We all looked at the wide-eyed alien, and she pulled on a strand of silver hair while her gills fluttered rapidly.
Well, they can't get at the ship,
Becca said.
The force field is on, so that's something. Unless they can get through a force field,
Kat added.
Let's just hope they can't. And we won't let them find Idhara,
Heiwan said as she clutched her new alien sharp gun.
They will just have to leave, empty-handed.
My three girls nodded like this was obvious. I knew we had to protect Idhara, but I also knew that if the fucking men in black of England had just rolled into Ravenscar, they would not leave empty-handed so easily. Especially if they could see an alien spacecraft sitting on our hillside, but not touch it. I could still hear the roar of more and more engines as they drove on by. But a few seconds later, a cold sweat prickled on my neck as I heard a vehicle slowing down. The girls clutched their weapons as I carefully opened the stockroom door by the smallest crack.
We didn't lock the front door behind us, did we?
Heiwan asked.
Shit,
Kat whispered.
I put the keys down on the counter. We can't even open the back door.
I watched as one of the black cars pulled up onto the sidewalk right outside the store. The windows were tinted glass, and the driver and passenger doors swung open at the same time before two men in black suits climbed out. One of them was tall and lanky, with slicked back blonde hair and a chiseled jawline. The other was bald and stocky, with muscles bulging against his tight jacket. They both glanced down the street and then pointed at something, but it was clear they were about to come into the shop, and I pulled my head back as I closed the stockroom door.
What do we do?
Becca hissed.
Shoot them?
Heiwan asked, and Kat's eyes flared.
They work for the fucking government,
the soldier scoffed.
What part of that do you guys take lightly? But,
the Korean started to say. They'll probably just come in, grab something, and leave, I interrupted. If we lay low back here, they may not even come through.
How many are there?
Becca asked. Two, I replied. But who knows how many others there are in those vans that went past. I stopped talking as I heard the door at the front of the store swing open, and two sets of footsteps came inside.
If they don't have any left, I'm gonna be pissed, a deep, gruff voice said.
It's just a fucking Red Bull, a higher-pitched voice sighed. It's chemicals and caffeine. I'm sure you'll survive without it.
I've already quit smoking, the gruff voice said. I'm not gonna kick the caffeine anytime soon.
I stood as still as possible and clutched my razor-thin gun as the footsteps started to move around the shop floor.
They've got it, the gruff voice chuckled. Fucking sugar-free is all that's left, but it's better than nothing.
This place is quite well stocked, the lighter voice said. Surprising. I thought all the shops would have been utterly looted by now.
It's a small town, the gruff voice said. They're probably all dead by now. I doubt any of them lived past a few days. Poor bastards. Probably all old folk who live here.
There was a crack of a can being opened, and I heard the man guzzle and slurp down his drink before he let out a loud burp. Becca wrinkled her nose, and we waited for the men to leave.
Hey, look, the lighter voice said. Seems like somebody was packing.
Kat's eyes widened, and she bit her lip as the sound of packets of food rustled outside. They had clearly found the boxes we started to load up with food, and I could only hope they didn't decide to come looking for whoever had left it behind.
Someone was probably stocking shelves when this all hit, the gruff voice said. Some poor bastard enjoying their dull fucking life when dinosaurs start to fall out of the sky.
We should eat,
the lighter voice said, and there was the sound of a packet being opened.
Who knows how long this bloody day is going to last?
I heard a crunch, and it sounded like he had opened a bag of chips.
It better not take as long as the first one, the gruff voice said. I thought that alien bastard was never going to die.
My heart leapt into my throat, and I looked at Idhara as the men snickered, but her expression was unreadable while she stared at the floor.
He really was a bastard, the gruff man said. If he at least tried to be helpful, they might have kept him alive.
Nah,
the light voice replied through a mouthful of food.
He was going to get cut open either way. We needed to know what the fuck was inside. I hope the next one we get is a girl, though.
I'll bet they've got some weird shit going on. Like free tits, the gruff voice snorted. What do you think an alien pussy looks like?
Today might be the day we find out, the other chuckled. Maybe we could get a quick ride before we hand her over.
You'd fuck an alien? If a cunt looked juicy enough, I would.
I felt my face grow hot with rage while the two men snickered through their food, and it took all of my self-control not to go out and punch the assholes right in the face. Adhara's eyes were wider than ever, and I wasn't sure if she was more likely to cry or burst through the door with her weapon ready to go. I just hoped she couldn't understand all the words those fuckers were saying. It sounded like Adhara wasn't the only scout in her crew to crash land on our planet, though. And if two had landed, what if all four scouts were stuck down here the same as her? Well, three scouts now. I clutched my gun tightly, and I was ready to jump into action if these assholes made their way toward the stockroom. They may have been government officials, but if they spoke so lightly about murdering aliens and inspecting their bodies, I was willing to do anything I had to for Adhara's sake. The girls glowered in silence, and I could tell by their faces that they were just as full of rage as I was. Heiwan had her face scrunched into a scowl, and Kat's glare at the door was fiery. Becca looked ready to pistol-whip the first bastard who walked through that door, but Adhara kept staring at the floor while her gills fluttered rapidly. There were a few minutes of silence as the two men ate and opened another can, but they didn't seem particularly interested in exploring the store. I hoped they would leave as soon as they finished eating, but then they spoke again, and I ground my jaw in irritation.
"What if we just hole up here?" the gruff voice asked. "I'm fucking knackered after last night. How many experiments do they need, exactly?"
"All you did was stand there with a gun," the lighter voice said. "The scientists did the experimenting. You were just a muscle in case the alien fucker made a wrong move."
"He tried to," the gruff voice snorted. "Every time he tried to escape, I had to beat his purple ass, so yeah, I'm fucking tired."
Adhara curled her hand into a fist, and I couldn't imagine how painful it was for her to listen to those assholes laugh about her dead crew member. I reached out a hand and put it on her shoulder, and I gave her a quick squeeze and hoped that she knew by now that not all humans were the same.
"What you think's in there?"
the gruff voice asked, and I froze. I looked at the girls, and I knew that the men must be talking about the stockroom. There wasn't anywhere else to go in this shop.
"Probably a stockroom," the other voice said with disinterest. "Staff room, maybe."
"Well, let's check it out,"
the gruff voice said, and there was a sudden shuffling of wrappers before their footsteps started coming this way. I knew we only had a matter of seconds to react, and there was no way I was going to let those fuckers near Adhara. The way they had spoken about her lit a fire inside me, and I was ready to put a bullet through whoever was about to walk through the door before they would have a chance to think. I took a step in front of Adhara, and the girls formed a line beside me as we aimed our sharp guns toward the door.
"You shoot your kind for me?"
the alien whispered, and I nodded as I kept my focus on the stockroom entrance. The footsteps of the men grew closer, and I hovered my finger over the trigger as the door swung open with a high-pitched creak. Light from the shop floor illuminated the dull stockroom, and two figures appeared in the doorway. Both MI5 agents whipped Glock 17s from their holsters the second they saw us. They each held black suits with immaculate leather shoes, and they stank of way too much cologne. My three girls stood armed and ready beside me, and the taller blonde man swiftly entered the room with his pistol aimed right at me. I noted that he didn't have any alien weapons on him, and the shorter, stockier man beside him didn't either. The taller man's eyes landed on Adhara, and his mouth fell open as he swung his Glock around to aim at her. My entire body was hot with rage, and I couldn't think of anything other than keeping the beautiful alien safe. A bead of sweat ran down my temple, and my throat was dry as I aimed my alien weapon at the piece of shit in a fancy suit. I pulled the cool, metal trigger of my sharp gun before the man had even a chance of taking his shot. The bullet hit between the fucker's eyes in less than a second, and his forehead spurted blood as he crashed to the ground. The skull of the dead agent made a sickening crunch as it hit the floor before his buddy had time to process what was going on.
"Alien?"
the shorter guy managed, and Kat growled before she shot him in the jugular. The bastard in black gurgled while his eyes rolled back into his head, and I took aim at his face before I delivered the shot which hit his left eye. He would have died from Cat's shot alone, but the satisfaction of shooting the asshole twice helped dampen my rage. The thought of their greasy hands on Adhara had clearly woken up something inside me, and I glared at their lifeless bodies to be certain they had taken their last breaths.
Good,
Adhara nodded as she stepped out from behind me.
We protect each other, yes?
Exactly, I smiled. Then I looked down at the two men as a pool of blood spread around them. I'm really sorry about your friend. I know that must have been hard to hear.
It is a lot to think of,
the alien said quietly.
But I feel grateful. I was found by you, not these humans. I am safe, as are you. I protect you from my kind that don't understand. You protect me from yours.
It's good to have you in the group,
Kat said with a smile.
You really are a badass.
A badass?
Adhara asked.
My ass is bad? Oh, hell no,
Becca snorted.
Your ass is ridiculous. Who knew aliens were so hot? Hot?
Adhara repeated, and she seemed completely baffled.
My body is always the perfect temperature in this suit.
I laughed as Hei-Wan tucked herself under my arm, and while I stroked her silky hair, I took a moment to appreciate having all of my lovers and Adhara safe. We should get going, I said. We need to go and warn the others that these guys are in town. Unless they're already out there. Hopefully they haven't located where the ship is yet, and we can have time to form a plan. If we can't get the ship to fly yet, we need to work out where to hide Adhara.
Should we move the bodies?
Becca asked.
They're going to stink up the place, and we'll have to look at them all rotten when we come back next.
The bodies might attract dinos,
Hei-Wan added.
We don't want anything to break in and destroy the ship.
That's true, I sighed as I swung my weapon over my shoulder. Let's move them outside. I pulled open the door and grabbed the tall man's legs as Kat lifted his torso. We carried the limp body out onto the concrete and threw him into a nearby bush as Hei-Wan and Becca did the same with the short one.
Good fucking riddance,
Becca said as the body slumped into the twigs.
Assholes. I wonder who it was,
Adhara said quietly as she pulled on a strand of silver hair.
Which one of my friends they killed?
It sounds like he put up a fight, and he clearly didn't give them any weapons or put down the force field on his ship, I told her. He was a hero.
Yes.
The alien nodded sadly.
And they want to kill me too. To cut me open.
That is not going to happen, I promised her. We are not going to let a single one of these fuckers hurt you.
Yeah, we like you.
Hei-Wan smiled as she picked up her gun from the floor.
We are not going to leave you to fend for yourself.
The alien looked at me and my girls, and she sent us all a small smile as she tucked her silver hair behind her ear.
I'll grab that box of food we packed,
Kat said as she headed for the shop.
You can never have too many packets of whole wheat pasta.
The soldier hurried off to grab our haul, and we all followed. I glanced out of the front of the window to make sure there weren't any more agents, and only the abandoned black vehicle of the dead MI5 guys stood outside.
At least we have the graphite powder now,
Becca murmured from my side.
Adhara, it shouldn't take long to get it flying, right? I predict so,
Adhara nodded.
If everything is okay with the engine, then it should maybe take just a few minutes to make the adjustments.
Let's get going then, I said. Before a dino catches the stink of those bodies. You want to ride with me again, Adhara?
Yes, I would like that,
the alien answered. I locked the front door of the shop and grabbed the shop keys off the counter. And then we all headed out the back door and to our vehicles. Kat had already put the food box in the back of her jeep, and Adhara didn't hesitate to climb onto my motorcycle behind me. I felt a huge sense of pride as her arms wrapped around me. Adhara had protected us, and this fueled my determination to keep her safe from the men in black. They had already killed one alien, but there was no chance in hell they were going to get another. We started our engines and drove off from behind the back of the store. The sun was still out in full force, and my face was warm as we drove down the main street of the small town. The skies seemed to be dino-free for the whole way back to the woodlands near the castle, and we didn't see any more signs of the herd when we passed the field.
Those agents have to have a rough idea of where the crash was,
Becca said as she leaned out of the side of the jeep.
Otherwise, they never would have come through Ravenscar.
But maybe they don't know the exact spot?
I reckon it won't be long until they find it, I said. It's not a big place, and the ship is right in the middle of a huge hill. It's not exactly well hidden, even if it is protected. The two of us exchanged a look, but all my girls seemed to be of the same mind as me. All of us picked up the pace, and we drove as fast as we could through the country roads. Once we turned at the fork in the road in the woods, we finally slowed down a bit, and as we turned past a clump of trees, the castle came into view. I slammed on my brakes. All over the hillside there were black cars and vans, and I could see suited agents gathered around the spaceship already. The British men in black had moved in on Raven Hall.